for a long time if we tried to talk about all the things that was because of the cross and because of what Jesus did for us, death, burial, and resurrection. Matter of fact, every Sunday just about that a message is preached, whatever subject it is the result of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. None of it would even be possible if it wasn't for that. Revelation chapter number 4, and we're going to look in verse number 1 and look at several verses in the next two chapters. This morning was praying. I always pray about what to preach, and it's one of those Sundays that a lot of folks, you know, preach on the resurrection and things like that. I will mention it, but this is the message God laid on my heart for this morning. And the songs they just sang, even though they were about the resurrection of Christ dying, it goes right along with the message today, and I like how the Lord does that. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, if you're there, would you say amen? Amen. The Bible said after this, and the after this was him seeing the angels written to the seven churches and describing the seven churches, which describe seven church ages and the different time periods. We are in the Laodicean church age. That's the last, very last one before the rapture of the church. And we find the rapture of the church pictured here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And we're going to go up with the sound of a trumpet. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. It's of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so John is seeing a picture of the rapture of the church after the church ages. And then now he's going to begin to look at some things that are going on in heaven. And verse number 4, here's some of the things that he sees. He sees in verse 3 all these stones, and he sees the throne. In verse number 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiments, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. These 24 elders are surrounding the throne, and on their head are these crowns of gold. The Bible talks about crowns that we can earn and things that we can do for Christ, and we can earn crowns. And we find that they're wearing crowns. And then go on to verse number 8, it said, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And watch what they do with the crowns that are on their head. The Bible said, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. These 24 elders are sitting around the throne with these crowns on their head, and they are crowns that they had earned. They're crowns that they had won, and they took those off and they cast them at the feet of the Savior and said, thou art worthy. It was only because of him that sat on the throne that they were able to even earn a crown. Any crown or anything that we do that merits any kind of recognition from Christ is only because of him. It's only because of him that we'll have anything to throw at his feet. And it's sad that there's many a Christian that'll have nothing to throw at his feet. The Bible talks about a judgment seat of Christ where every work that you've done in your body after salvation will go through a fire. If it's done for Christ, it'll come through the other side and it'll make up jewels and crowns and rewards. If it's done for self, it'll burn up. It'll be like a big bonfire like we're going to have out here. There's some people, when their works go through the fire, will have to back up. It'll be a little too warm. It'll be a little too much like hell. Amen? And I'm afraid that there's a lot of things that are going to burn up even in my life. But man, I want to please Him. I want to be able to give Him something back. We find this picture here. And verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy. I want to preach this morning on this subject on how worthy is He. How worthy is He? And stay with me, we're going to look at several verses, but the word worthy is found in our Bible 68 times in 66 verses in the King James Bible. I don't think anything's a coincidence when it comes to my Bible and when it comes to God. The fact that worthy is found in 66 different verses and we have 66 books of the Bible, I don't think it's any coincidence at all. He is worthy. And this book is worthy. This is the only thing that He's exalted above His name is His Word. The magnified Word. Worthy. It's one who merits anything worthy, deserving, having worth or excellence, possessing worth or excellence of qualities. The 24 elders and the beast in Revelation 4, they realize the worthiness of Christ. And they described Him by saying, Thou art worthy. That title is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is worthy. He is worthy. They say, Thou art worthy, O Lord. And then chapter number 5, a book shows up. A book in which no man can open because nobody's worthy enough. Let's read with me. Now, I hope this doesn't bore you this morning. I'm going to try to magnify Christ for a few minutes. I'll make application to us here in just a second. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 1. I saw in the right hand. Picture this. John is seeing this in heaven. Picture it with me. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. It was on both sides. Sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders, the same ones that just cried out, Thou art worthy, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In chapter 4, verse number 11, they're singing a song. They're singing, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and praise and honor. In verse number 9, they sing a new song. And they say, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Because of what Christ did for us on Calvary, we can be priests and kings. The priesthood of the believer. Verse number 11, And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. And what are they crying out? In verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's what they're crying out with a loud voice. Can you imagine 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands crying out, "Thou art worthy"? It would be wonderful if we could get 40 people to say, "Thou art worthy." One day when we get to heaven, we'll see His worthiness. Whether or not we believe it, we'll see the wounds of His passion in His hands, the wounds that are still there. We'll see that and we'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb." But I'm here to tell you right now, I believe He's worthy to be praised right this very minute. Verse number 13, "And every creature which is in heaven." Everybody's getting in on this. "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Chapter 5 here in Revelation is all about the worthiness of Christ. How He alone is the worthy one. The book of Revelation has 22 chapters. It hath, if you took three chapters, if you took three, every third chapter and put a seal on it, it would have seven seals. There's some people that believe the book of Revelation is this book found in Revelation 5. I don't know if it is or not, but if you took three chapters and put seals on every one of them, it'd be seven seals, and it'd be front and back, and chapter 22 would be the backside. Just like it said, it could be the book of Revelation. In the book of Daniel, it said that the words that Daniel even wrote were supposed to be shut up until a future time. It could be that the book of Revelation is that book that was sealed, and now we're able to read it because the Lamb opened it up. It could be the Word of God. It could be the Bible itself. And there's a description of the seals on it that we could go over sometime. But whether it was the book of Revelation or whether it was the Bible itself, the one thing is certain, that no man was able to open the book. No man was worthy enough to open the book. You notice the song that they sing here in chapter number 5 and verse number 9. It is a song about the blood. We sang some Wednesday night songs about the blood, and they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the" what? By the blood. If any Church of Christ make it to heaven, they'll get up there singing about the blood, and they're going to say, "Well, what about the tub? Or what about water? Or what about Mary?" No, no, no. He's worthy because of the blood. You don't hear them singing about water. You don't hear them singing about Mary. You don't hear them singing about wine. You don't hear them singing about you. It's about Him. It's about Him and what He did on the cross. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Speaking of the death that He would face. It's all about Him. I want to say as a way of introduction, Christ alone is worthy. The first reason why He's worthy is because He's sinless. Because He's sinless. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." The reason why He's worthy is because He is sinless. When that woman was brought in the very act of adultery, they brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man, who was also guilty, but they brought him before Christ, and Christ said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And nobody could cast a stone because of their sin nature and because of sin. Christ didn't pick up a stone and throw it at her. He forgave her. She repented and He forgave her, amen? But Christ, why? How come He's worthy? Because He's sinless. How dare we think that we have any worth in us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We deserve to be in hell. We deserve to not have the blessings of God. We don't deserve to be sitting here this morning. Hey, we are nothing without Him. How come He's so worthy? Because He's sinless. There's a great debate on whether or not He could have sinned and could or could not or whatever. The God part of Him could not sin. A matter of fact, when Christ was on the cross, when Christ became sin for us, God had to turn His back on His Son when He became sin for us, because He can't even look on sin. But the man part of Jesus Christ was tempted in every point like you and I, yet without sin. And our people debated all day long, but why would the Bible make a great emphasis on He did not sin if He could not have sinned? And I don't even debate with them. Hey, I'm just telling you, it makes me feel so much better that Jesus in human flesh, just like you and I have, came down and He did not sin. He's worthy. He's worthy because He was sinless. He never sinned. He never told a lie. He never stole one thing. He was sinless. Well, how come He's so worthy? He's sinless. He's worthy. Not only because He was sinless, but number two, because He was slain. That's what the verse says in verse number 9. Look with me again. You still there? And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. You've heard stories of people that owe somebody. They'll say, because you did this great deed, I will give myself to you. We read about it in Scripture where somebody, David, saved that Israelite's life whenever they were, I forget what country came and took all of his belongings, but that Egyptian showed up. He was a slave, and David spared his life. And he said, David, I owe my life to you for saving me. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, He gave up everything for you and I. He's worthy because He was slain. Because He was slain. Verse number 12, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was what? Slain. He went to Calvary for you and I. He took our beating. He took the beard plucking. He took the spitting. He took the crown of thorns. He took the cat of nine tails. He took it all and was slain. That's what makes Him worthy. You take a beating for somebody, and that person will be appreciative for what you did for them. They ought to. It's amazing what Christ did for us on the cross, and very few people are appreciative of what they've done. But I'm telling you, He's worthy because He was sinless. He's worthy because He was slain. He's worthy because He was the sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He's worthy because He was the sacrifice. He laid His own life down for you and I. He didn't have to do that. It was the will of the Father and He obeyed God, but He laid His life down. That's why He's worthy, because He was sinless, because He was the sacrifice, because He was slain. And every bit of this was made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, Romans 1:4 said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. J.C. Ryle said, we can never make too much of Christ. He is worthy of all the honor that we can give Him. You cannot make too much of Him. He's worthy. And if you were to see what John saw in heaven, you would hear the 24 elders. You would hear the beast. You would hear the saints that were slain. You would hear all these animals and all the creatures. And you would hear Him crying out, worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. That's my Savior. If you're saved, that's your Savior. He's worthy. In verse number 3 of our text there in John, Revelation chapter 5, it said, and no man in heaven. There's no angel. There's no saint. I don't care how good of a Christian they were when they got to heaven and the saints that are up there. No man was worthy. Paul the Apostle was not worthy. Peter was not worthy. The martyrs. I'm reading a book right now about our Baptist history and the martyrs that went to the stake and they were burned alive for having a copy of a Bible. They were burned alive for saying that you had to repent and be saved in order to go to heaven and not sprinkled. They were burned at a stake. And thank God for those people. I don't know if we would do that. But guess what? They're not worthy. They're not worthy. No man in heaven. No, not in, even in the earth. No preacher, no scholar, no pope, no bishop, no priest. Nobody on the earth is worthy. It says neither under the earth. Well, who's under the earth, preacher? The devil. He's not worthy either. The devil, no lost soul in hell. They're not worthy. It covered all the ground. Hold your place. You would go with me, or you don't have to hold your place. Just go to Genesis chapter 32. Are y'all still with me? Preaching on how worthy is he. I'm thinking about the worthiness of Christ. I'm so thankful this morning that I'm not going to hell. And it's because Christ was sinless. He was scarred for us. He was bruised for us. He was the sacrifice. Genesis chapter number 32. In verse number 9, the very first mention of the word worthy in all of the Bible is found right here. Can I tell you the context of it? The context is the unworthiness of man. This new gospel that's being preached in churches today is a humanistic gospel. It is talking about how good you are. And how you should feel comfortable in church. And you can dress however you want in church and listen to whatever music you want to listen to. Whatever pleases you. Because you're so special. That's what's being preached, but that is an anti-scriptural message. The context that we find here in Genesis chapter 32 of worthy, the very first time it's ever mentioned, is man is not worthy. And as we go through here, I hope you understand how much more precious our salvation is. That Christ made us worthy because of what he did on the cross. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 9. Verse number 9, this is Jacob. It said, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. It says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. All he had was that staff when he crossed over Jordan, and when he's coming back, he's got two bands of families. He's got cattle. He's got, and I'm telling you, as we look back on our life and we look at all the blessings God's given to us, we're not worthy. It's but by the grace of God. We're not worthy of His mercy. We're not worthy of His grace. The very first mention of worthy in the Old Testament is man's lack of worthiness. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 quickly. Matthew chapter 3, the very first mention of the word worthy in the New Testament is in reference to man's lack of worthiness. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. This is John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. You're there, say amen. It says, and when they were... let me get in the right place. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not what? Worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is the very first mention of worthy in the New Testament, and it's to the unworthiness of man. We're not worthy. But we have a generation of people today that think they deserve something. I'm telling you, we're sitting here this morning, thank God, got a nice suit of clothes on. Amen. We got all the colorful colors on today because of a Resurrection Sunday. And thank God for it, a good family. And we've got food and we've got a house and shelter over us. And we begin to think that we deserve what we have. We don't deserve any bit of it. He alone is worthy. He's worthy. We're not. So the first mention in the Old Testament, the first mention in the New Testament, speaks to the unworthiness of man. We are told as a child of God that we are to walk worthy. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, but in 1 Corinthians 11, I mentioned it on Wednesday night, there were people that were partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And they talked about being unworthy when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And it's not talking about our worth necessarily because we have no worth. It's talking about His worth. And they were abusing the worthiness of Christ. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were serving a worthy God the way they wanted to. And you know what the definition of that is? Unworthily. Unworthily. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. You're there? Say amen. It said, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're commanded here by Paul in two other verses we're about to look at that ye walk worthy. Not because you're worthy, but because He is worthy. So your Christian walk should represent the worthiness of Christ. Does He not deserve the praise and glory and honor that comes out of our life to give to Him? That's what I'm talking about this morning. How worthy is He? How worthy is He to you? To many, they're thankful that He died on the cross and saved them from hell, but that's where it stops. But I'm here to tell you this morning, His worthiness goes way beyond that. Even if you died and went to hell, He's still worthy. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. We preached on this at length, going through the book of Colossians on Wednesday night, but we're going to look at it for sake of the message. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. The Bible said that ye might walk what? Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Not of yourselves, not because you're worthy, but because He is. Whatever worth you have is because of Him. Whatever good quality I have at all is because of Him. And so because of that, I ought to walk worthy unto the Lord. All pleasing. Brother Stephen talked about it in Sunday school this morning with the Holy Spirit and music and different things in a Christian's life. Is He not worthy? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't imagine this would be the Easter message at most churches this morning. We take advantage of the grace of God and the great salvation that we have whenever we decide to do what we want to do and not consider the worthiness of Christ and what He did for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. The Bible says here that ye would walk what? Worthy of yourself. Worthy of what pleases you. People today, they said, you don't know my worth. What is your worth? In the secular world, when it comes to somebody having skill and knowledge, they say, I want to get paid what I'm what? Well, big boy, if we really, really drill down what you're worth, I mean, I don't know if we could come up with enough negative pennies to give you what you're worth. It's not the idea of going to a trade and a school and Brother Stephen has a business and he needs to get paid for his time. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you get to thinking you're actually somebody. Thank God for the knowledge. Thank God for the wisdom. But where you actually get to thinking that you're somebody and you're worth something. I know this is anti-world that we live in today. In the Me Too movement and all these different things that are going on in society. But I'm telling you this morning that Paul tells us that we should walk worthy of who? That's a high standard, church. Walking worthy of the Lord, walking worthy of God, unto all pleasing. That's a very high standard. Amen. You say, will we ever reach it? Not till we get to heaven, but we ought to try to walk that way. Amen. We ought to do the best we can to walk that way. He's worthy. He went to the cross for you and I, died for us on the cross, and it goes beyond that. It's because of who God is. He's worthy. Spurgeon said, if you seek humility, try hard work. If you would know your nothingness, attempt something great for Jesus. If you would feel how utterly powerless you are apart from the living God, attempt especially the great work of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you will know, as you never knew before, what a weak, unworthy thing you are. The closer you get to Christ and the closer you realize what He did, the more you realize what He did for you, the more unworthy you'll feel, the more appreciative you'll be, the more you'll be willing to serve Him, the more you'll be willing to do whatever pleases Him. We find in the Song of Solomon a song of lovers. It's a whole song that was sung. And that woman is smitten with that man, and talked about all the wonderful things that he is and all the things that he had done for her. And she loved him so very much. And as a child of God, as the church, we ought to love him so much that we're willing to do whatever pleases him. Because of all that he's done for us. I'm going to ask you a couple questions and I'll be done. How worthy is he to you? What does his worth mean to you? I mean, they're crying out in heaven right now. Either holy, 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 or worthy, worthy, worthy. That's what they're crying out in heaven. And we're crying out down here on earth, you hurt my feelings. And we're crying out, I didn't get my way. And we're crying out, I want what pleases me. That's what we're crying out. Even in the local church, that's what we're crying out. Instead of holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. How worthy is he to you personally? I'm preaching to the church this morning. I'm preaching to the individual. I'm preaching to every child, every adult in here. How worthy is he to you? Is he worthy enough for you to stop sinning? We all have that little pet sin that we just love to death. We got that little thing. It might be our music. Oh, but I just like it. Does it please Christ? I know this is a sharp stick this morning. Is he worthy enough for us? That thing, I'm not talking, listen, we sin every day. We mess up. That's why we go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for thinking that. I'm sorry for responding the way that I did. I'm sorry for talking to my wife the way that I did. I'm sorry for doing this or doing that. We've all got little things. We're still this old sin nature, this body where we still have it that we deal with every day. But there's some that have pet sins that they know is displeasing to Christ. They know does not please God, but they don't care because they like it so much. And Christ is worthy, but not quite worthy enough for me to do away with this. I know this is rubber meet the road type stuff, but I'm telling you right now, he is worthy. But I want to know, how worthy is he to you? How worthy is he to you? To the drunk, is he worthy enough to let go of that liquor? I mean, is he worth it? And you either say, yeah, I say he's worthy, but I'm not letting go of it. Well, then you're valuing his worth pretty low. To the cigarette smoker, is he worth letting it go? You're a child of God. Now listen, people say, I cannot quit. If you truly cannot, you're not saved. Because he freed you from the bondage of sin the moment you got saved. The truth is, you don't want to. How worthy is he? That music that we have that we turn on in the car, or we turn on in the house, or put in our little earbuds when we're listening going down the road, that we enjoy. So how worthy is he to you? If you knew that the lover of your soul, the man that died on the cross for your sins, it displeased him, would you think twice about what you're about to do and say, Lord, I want to please you more than I want that? You have no clue, no clue the joy and peace that would flood your soul, the sweet fellowship with God that you would have in just trying to please him. How worthy is he? Is he worthy enough to give up your self-righteousness? Man, we really think we're somebody, don't we? We're nobody. We're nothing without him. Worthy enough to give up our stubbornness, our pride. Say, Lord, what would please you? This Christian life and the ones that are really trying to do right, it turns into this big struggle of do and don't. And it's really not about that. It's about pleasing Christ. And there's certain things that do not please him. It's not I can't. It's I get the privilege of not doing this because it pleases him. Why do you want to please him? Oh, he's worthy. He's so worthy. Why would I want to raise my children for him? He's worthy. Why would I want to give my marriage to him? He's worthy. Is he worthy enough to stop sinning? And I'm not talking to the lost. I've got one for you in a moment if you're lost. I'm talking about the child of God that's saved, born again, but they got the little thing that they just love to do. Is he worthy? Is he worthy enough to stop sinning? Is he worthy enough to serve him? I know these are loaded questions. The answer to every one of them is yes. But whatever the Holy Spirit does in your heart through this message, you need to respond to him. Is he worthy enough to serve? The Bible said in Matthew 10:38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Is he worthy to serve? I pray and we fill the bus up with little kids. And they're going to be little kids that don't know John 3:16. They're little kids. They're going to have a filthy mouth, just like a sailor, because that's what they grew up with. The first words out of their mouth were curse words. There's some of them that we're going to have to feed because they haven't been fed. There's some of them that are going to try to steal from you. They're a bunch of little sinners that need to be born again. And you know what we're going to need? We're going to need people in the church to serve. We need people to go out and knock on their door and invite them to come to church and tell them about a God that saved him. But we have to get out of our little comfort zone and we have to get out of our own plans that we've got all these grand things that have nothing to do with God or the church and say, Lord, you're worthy enough for me to give up a little bit of my time to go serve you. Is he worthy to serve? It's a privilege and an honor to be able to serve the church. The bride of Christ, to be able to serve, to be able to serve the local church. It's an honor to be able to do that. He's worthy. It's an honor to be able to clean the toilets and to be able to do the grass and whatever it takes to please him. We're so caught up in our little world and everything that we've got going on that makes us happy and we just have to do these things that serving Christ falls to the side. And I want to ask this morning, is he worthy to serve? Is he worthy to suffer for? We'll take you over to the place where Miss Lisa came from, take you over to some other countries, and you can talk to those Christians that are suffering, and they'll tell you, it's worth it. Laying up in a hospital, about to die, and say, I thank God he put me in the hospital because I got to witness to this man. Man, that ought to put every one of us under the carpet if we had carpet. Conviction. Is he worthy to suffer for? The Bible said in Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, I could never dress that way on a daily basis because it's embarrassing. Oh, embarrassing to be modest for Christ? Modest for God? It's embarrassing? Oh, I count it worthy to do whatever pleases him. Is he worth it for us to send the gospel any way possible? That is why he came. the death, burial, resurrection, the gospel, the good news, to send missionaries, to put our missions offering in, to go out and tell, to give gospel tracts. Is he worth it? I say this often, but a church, even as small as we are, is big enough that we should have to refill the track rack. Let me ask you this morning. If you're in here and you're lost and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is he worth it for you to be saved? That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died on Calvary, to save you from hell. He is worthy. They said right there in our text there in Revelation chapter 5, he's worthy because he was slain. He's worthy because of the blood. He's worthy because he was the sacrifice. Your works and whatever good things you've done, if that's what you're banking on, and you think you're worth something because of that, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus Christ, but God, who is rich in mercy, he saved. He wants to save you. He's worthy enough for us to come down and say, Lord, if I was to die today, I'm going to hell, but I don't want to go to hell. Thank you for what you did for me on the cross. Lord, would you save me? Child of God this morning, Miss Julia, would you come play something on the piano for me, sister? God deserves the best. Listen, church, I'm finished. God deserves the best, and he demands the best. He is worthy of the first. He's worthy of the best. He is worthy of our best. And will not be satisfied with anything less. So why would we try to give him anything less than the best that we have to give? And you know the irony in all this? Whatever the best thing you have to give him is something he gave you. We come full circle. There's 420 elders. They're sitting around the altar. They're sitting around the throne. They're wearing crowns. And they begin to think about what he did for them. They begin to think about how he was slain. They begin to see the wounds in his hands. And they cry out, Thou art worthy, O Lord. And they begin, and then the very next chapter, a book shows up. And what are we going to do? Nobody can open this book. John begins to weep because there's nobody that can open the book. Someone comes up and says, Hey, don't cry. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. He is worthy. You remember the day in your life where God showed up in your life and he saved you and he's blessed you and he's given you a family and he's given you a house and he's just given all these crowns that we have. You know what I think it's time that we start doing, church? Is giving what God's given us back to him and saying he's worthy. He's worthy. Walk worthy unto all pleasing. Walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of God. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. As she begins to play, God spoke to your heart. Would you make your way? Hey, is he worth you quitting that sin that you just won't give up? What is holding you back? What is hindering you in your life with God of just giving yourself to him? Is he worthy to serve? Is he worthy to send the gospel? Every time we have a missionary, every time we take up missions offerings for Faith Promise missions, I'm telling you, every penny you put in, it's because he's worthy. Is he worth giving up your pride? Well, I'm just going to put my foot down and this is what I'm going to... Hey, what about what pleases him? None of us are sinless. We all fail and we can ask God to forgive us and praise God for it. But I'm telling you, the thing that's going to get you is your bitterness. The thing that's going to keep you from pleasing him is your bitterness and your pride and your anger. Those things that are not accidental sins. They're intentional. They're direct. He took care of those things so you don't have to deal with it. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost. If you were to die today, you would bust hell wide open. You're counting on your family. You're counting on grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or whoever telling you that you were saved. You're counting on that you're a pretty good person. I'm telling you right now, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm thankful the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Humble yourself. Lord, I'm a sinner. My sin has offended You. And Lord, I don't want to be a sinner anymore. Father, would You save me? You died on the cross for me. I believe that You were dead, died, buried, and rose again. Would You save me? And His book said He'll save you. Anybody like that this morning, say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I would bust hell wide open. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. Just 1 second. All I'm doing is asking you to be honest before God for just 1 second. Say, Brother Andrew, if I was to die today, and we could die, we're not promised tomorrow, it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. Life is very short, it's but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. If you were to die today, on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, if you were to die today, say, preacher, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your right hand? Say, preacher, I know for sure, 100%, not one doubt, I don't have any doubt, I'm going to heaven when I die. Put your hands down. Listen, there's still people down here dealing with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's some that could not raise your hand. I want to tell you thank you for your honesty. That's the first step. Brother Stephen, bring your Bible and come stand in the front. Sister Lisa, would you grab yours and come down as well? Listen, there's still people doing business with God. I'm not delaying the service. There's people talking to the Lord. If you could not raise your hand, say, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. God sent His Son and took my place. I would like to get that thing settled today so I can know for sure I'm saved. Nobody's looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're that person, that ma'am or that man that could not raise their hand, would you step out and let us take a Bible? I got a man down here and a lady, if you're a lady, and let us take the Bible and show you the scriptures I just mentioned and that you can know for sure that you can be saved. You don't even have to get down here on the altar. We'll take you back to one of these rooms back here and open up the precious Word of God.